Baby girl.
Speaking of thinking of things clever, David Locke is with us, radio voice of the Jazz, brought to you each week by the good people at the Murdoch Auto Group. David, how are you? Happy game day.
Hello. How are you guys doing?
We're doing fine. Let's dive right in because it is a game day and your time is short. I'm sure you're busy. We've been talking this week a little bit about, at least PK and I were, about does defense feed offense or does offense feed defense? What do you think the truth is about this Jazz team?
Oh, this is a hard question. I mean, so the first part is the biggest adjustment the Jazz made this year is the way they play early in shot clock. So the Jazz are number one in the NBA in three-point attempts in the first 6 seconds of the shot clock. They're number two in the league in three-point attempts in the first 9 seconds of the shot clock. That's coming from defense, right? You're not getting those threes against a set defense. So that is certainly happening. However, the other aspect of this is, like, what is the Jazz? The Jazz defensively are the number one team in the league after a made shot. They allow 1.02 points per possession after a made shot. They're actually the third best team after a defensive rebound at 1.07, and they're 27th in the league after turnovers. They're not so good defensively after turnovers. So, you know, what allows the Jazz to be at their best is when they get their half-court defense and keep you in the half-court. They're either doing that via the Euro foul, stopping a fast break and making someone inbound it, or by scoring a basket and then getting the defense set. So I don't have a good answer for you, but I think it's a little bit of reason why we've seen the Jazz go on so many runs this year, is that when one happens, then the other happens, and they feed on each other.
I know that Quinn sure stresses that defense, and maybe that's a coach's nature, but he talks about that after every game, David. So it's
your parents told you eat your vegetables. Your parents told you eat your vegetables too, right?
Yeah, I never got
Did
over.
Did your parents ever stress to you eating dessert?
I never got over the liver and onions, though. I could never get that. Okay.
Right, but like, let's talk about the NBA. Let's talk about this from an NBA player standpoint. Like, so seriously, like, defense is the vegetables. You got to eat it. It makes you healthy. It makes you good. It's what separates you from winning and losing. It's like the good thing for you. Okay. Offense is chocolate ice cream. Like, they all like it. Everyone enjoys it. No one doesn't like it. Everyone wants to play it. Everyone wants to do it. Right. Like,
on the food pyramid of NBA basketball. Yes.
Right. Like, Quinn doesn't need to be like, come on, guys, let's really go offensively tonight. Like,
well, fine, you know, like, I'll shoot the ball.
Yeah. Right. Like, these guys didn't get paid because they, like, did sideline shuffles well in practice. They get paid because they make shots, and they all know it. So you've got to figure out a way to get them to play defense. So that's why Quinn emphasizes it. Eat your vegetables.
Speaking of eating vegetables, are you surprised, I guess, that the Jazz are number one in the league in total rebounding?
I hate that stat. I got asked it. There was a question on Twitter today that talked about statistics or sports conversations that make you look like Eric Spoelstra did on the sideline when talking to Ed Malloy the other day, which is a meme if you've seen it going around. And I would like to congratulate you, Gordon, because that was one of my four.
What do you hate about it?
Well, it's like when I grew up in the Bay Area, the Warriors led the league in rebounding because they couldn't freaking shoot. Like, the reason we lead the league in total rebounding is because we force the most misses. It's not because we're a good rebounding team. It's because, like, we're not a bad rebounding team, but, like, the way to look at rebounds is percentage of defensive and percentage of offensive rebounds. That's the only way rebounds should ever be discussed. Total rebounds is a totally useless number. Like, for example, even, like, offensively, if you go to the free throw line a bunch, which we don't do a great, I mean, we're pretty good. We're 10th in the league and going to the free throw line. Then we're good. We're a good rebounding team. Like, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I just don't like that way to talk about it. We're the third best defensive rebounding team in the league and fifth best offensive rebounding team in the league. Like, that's how we should talk about it. You know, Denver, I would argue, is probably a better rebounding team than us. They're the sixth best defensive rebounding team and the second best offensive rebounding team. And I think that, you know, like, you just have to look at Philadelphia is a great rebounding team. They're top 10 in both as well. But total rebounding to me is, like, there's just a total difference between the two. We made a conscious – I mean, the story really is that last year, if you kind of look at the Jazz over the years, Quinn and his coaching staff have made a completely evolutionary change in who they are as a basketball team in how they address rebounding. Like, so we're, if we look at our overall rebounding numbers as a franchise, we're vastly different this year than we've ever been before. You don't go from 21st in the league in offensive rebounding to fifth without making a conscious change to who you are as an organization. And they've done that. Everything else about us, pretty close. We don't force a lot of turnovers. We're a good defensive rebounding team. We don't foul a lot. We defend the shot well. We go to the line about the exact same amount of time offensively. We're turning it over a little less than we did a year ago. We shoot about the exact same. The big fundamental change that's taken us from being the 10th ranked offense in the league to the 3rd ranked offense in the league is we're getting 3% more of our offensive rebounds.
Yeah, and that offensive rebounding stat, the Jazz are 5th in that regard. Do you find usefulness in that as far as a sort of illustration of what they're doing offensively? Because
yes.
You mentioned earlier, and I think, David, we talked about this months ago, but you mentioned that the Euro foul. Well, if they throw somebody at the offensive board that they used to have run back in transition defense, then they might get more offensive boards. And if they don't get the offensive board, then they commit a foul to stop the action.
Well, so what's interesting about this is there's this school of thought that went through the NBA for many, many years, and that was that if you offensive rebound, you were bad in transition defense. And frankly, the leaders in that for much of it were kind of the whole Popovichian tree of coaching. So Steve Kerr and Golden State's generally followed that rule. Pop has followed that rule. Doc Rivers for a long time followed that rule. When if you look back at the Clippers, they didn't do a lot of offensive rebounding. There's no statistical data that backs that up. In fact, the statistical data goes the other way, that if you can know you're going to go grab a few extra offensive rebounds, any risk that you're going to put somebody in transition more is that's actually beneficial to go get the rebound. And that seems to be why the Jazz, though I don't know this for a fact, but have made this kind of change in who they are, is because of the fact that they're just the data does not back up the kind of premise. It's an old wives' tale of the NBA at this point, that if you offensive rebound, you'll be you'll be in transition more and you'll be a bad transition defensive team. If you actually look at the best offensive rebounding teams in the league, of the top 7 offensive rebounding teams in the league, 5 of the 7 are in the top 13 defensively. Hmm. 3 of the top 7 are in the top 10 defensively.
Yeah.
And then I can go pull out, like, you should be able to, like, see defensive transition rate, right? That would be the question. So, you know, the team that offensive rebounds the most in the NBA is New Orleans, and they rank 6th best in the NBA at denying transition. So the fact of the matter is, I think you're going to find out that the truth is if you crash the offensive rebound hard enough, you actually deny someone's transition because they have to go hit the glass. Denver's the 2nd-rated offensive rebounding team. They're middle of the pack in denying transition. Houston's the 3rd-rated offensive team. You know what? I'm going to guess Boston is. Boston's the 3rd-best offensive rebounding team in the league. Boston ranks 7th best at denying transition. It's not just – it's actually the correlation goes the exact opposite way. Cleveland is a bad is a high offensive rebounding team, and I'll bet you they're bad in transition. You know why? Because they're bad.
No, they've got Henderson Varejao now. They're fixing things. Yeah.
I mean, we're not great at it, actually. We allow people in transition too much. One of the things that nobody's talked about us, by the way, and I'm actually going to ask Quinn about this, and I don't know how to pull the data on this. I just have charted it all year long. We've gone from like 26th in the league in transition defense to about 8th.
That's
like, I don't really know. Like, I'm going to have to do some research before the coaches show tonight and try to see if I can find some data that really shows this. But I think in the last, 30, 35 games, we've done something really dramatically different in our transition defense. Maybe just since the All-Star break, who knows, of who we are. I think it stems back, frankly, to the Washington and Golden State games when they just ran by us and embarrassed us. And I think, the guys realized that's going to be a real problem for us. I'm running the numbers right now just to let you know, because that's fun to multitask. So since this is it. Oh, you guys are brilliant. Thank you. I needed to look this up. So since December, March 20th, which is the day after the Toronto game, after the opening kind of stretch, we are the number 2 team in transition defense in the NBA.
Wow. I bet that put a smile on Quinn's face.
Yeah. We're also the number one defensive team since that date, too, by the way. Like, despite, like, I get the vibe from our fan base that, like, people think we're, like, not playing well. Like, has anyone looked at our numbers? Like, what we've done? Like,
you get the vibe from the fans that they believe the Jazz are playing badly? Is that what you just said?
Yeah, I get, like, yeah, the vibe I get from a lot of people is like, oh, we need more of this.
Because they lost to the Suns and the Wolves?
I mean, that guy that – we had this guy on our roster for a while. I think he – he wears 45 because of Michael Jordan as a baseball – he's a pretty good basketball player. Oh, Donovan Mitchell.
Uh-huh, yeah. He has an affinity for spiders, I believe.
Yeah, yeah, and a scoring, a lot of points. It's really hard to play without.
While we're talking about defense, I want to ask you because the Spurs, they take the most mid-range shots in the league, which is weird. Not weird that they do, but that anyone is doing it. And the Jazz allow the most. I think that I know the answer to this, but I'm going to ask anyway. Who does that favor, the team that wants you to take the most mid-range shots or the team that wants to take the most mid-range shots?
Well, we won by like 20 the other night, and they had an unbelievably good mid-range shooting night. Like, if they have that same shot chart that they had the other night against us, and they don't shoot well, oh, God. It could be just ridiculous.
You tweeted out a shot chart at one point.
They had no field goals at the rim or threes with 25 seconds left in the game the other night. In the first half, 25 seconds left in the first half. They had no shots at the – they had no buckets at the rim, and they had no threes. Now, they only had five shots at the rim, and they only had six threes, so that's a credit to the Jazz. Because of Rudy, we're the only team in the league – I don't know if we're still doing this, time for me to look up a stat while talking. Last year, we're the only team in the league in the top five denying shots at the rim and denying shots at threes. This year, I don't think we're there, but we're the number one team in the league – or number two team in the league now denying – threes, and the reason we deny threes is because we have, you know, our guys, we have Rudy behind them. So we are top five again. We allow the fifth fewest amount of shots at the rim and the second fewest amount of threes. Like, so that's no one else in the league other than Washington. And, you know, it's interesting. When Scott Brooks was in town, I was texting with him and basically asking him, like, why are you guys not, like, frankly, better? Like, you're doing everything right analytically. And he literally came back to me and was like, oh, we'll be fine. We got ripped apart by COVID. Like, this thing will come back around. They're the number one team in the league at forcing people into the right shot. That's what's made them – everyone's talking about Russell, who's been great. Well, the reason Washington's on a run is because they've been playing the game the right way, and the numbers finally came back on their side.
David, the Jazz are averaging 5.4 blocks per game. That ranks sixth in the league. Does that mean anything at all, or is the fact that Rudy Gobert dissuades so many attempts that is skewed?
So I think it means something. I like what we just talked about instead, like that we allow the fewest amount of shots at the rim, and then I can dig in and tell you what the difference is when Rudy's on the floor and off the floor. So I prefer that better because I think dissuading the shots is more important than blocking a shot. And particularly there's 80 shots a game. And so we're blocking whatever you said. It's not very many. What I do think is most relevant in if you want to talk about Rudy is it's not block shots. Rudy Gobert defends actually the most shots of anyone in the league. So our entire defense is predicated on driving people to Rudy. He defends 20 shots a night. The average shooter shoots 7 percentage points below league average on those shots.
That's really interesting.
Inside 6 feet, players shoot 14 percentage less than they would on league average. They shoot 48.5% if Rudy's the closest defender, and the league average is 62.6.
Wow. Is there a ranking for that?
He and Miles Turner, I think, and then Alex Len of Washington. But I think actually – No, actually, it's not Miles Turner. It was actually for a little while, it was Drew Eubanks of San Antonio, but I'm sure that has not lasted. There is a stat that Rudy's far and away the best in the league of anyone who actually plays real minutes. The other note on that is where Rudy has really evolved and changed is last I checked, players were shooting 34% on threes when Rudy's the closest defender.
It's good to see Rudy really focusing on defense finally. For many years he was.
Well, give us that last one again. That is these stats are screaming, David.
34%.
14%, by the way, Rudy. So Rudy's defending 9 shots a game inside 6 feet. 14.4 is the best in the league. Miles Turner at 13.1 is next. Brooke Lopez minus 11.6. And Jakob Poeltl, who was not great the other night against us, was minus 11.9. So those are the best inside 6 feet. Overall, Rudy, as I said, is 7 percentage points. There's no one else close, and no one else is closer than 19 shots he's altering a game. The final piece of that puzzle is what I just mentioned to you, was that this year when Rudy goes out and gets isolated on players outside the three-point line, he's been particular – guys don't make it. Like, I'm going to try him. Happens 4 times a night, and guys are shooting 33.2% on Rudy on three-point shots.
Is that good news if the Jazz face the Nuggets and Jokic?
Jokic has never done as well as Rudy, actually. I have to look back at the playoffs of whether he did or not, but – you know what? Three-point shooting defense is actually usually length. Our best three-point shooting defender is Joe Ingles. 29%, I think, on what it is on three-point shots. I think the number on him, I checked it most recently, it's just because he's long, he gets there. You know, and I think Mike Conley's the lowest and Donovan's the lowest because they're just short. So three-point shooting defense is actually length-based, which is why Rudy's so darn good at it.
Well, David, we'll catch you around 6:50 tonight with the tip-off just after 7 o'clock. Looking forward to it.
Okay, talk to you soon.
That's David Locke, radio voice of the Jazz, who, alongside with Ron Boone, the legend, do each and every broadcast each and every night here on The Zone that the Jazz play.